The city of Boise continues to reel today from a brutal attack at a Boise apartment complex Saturday night when a man targeted a three-year-old birthday party and stabbed nine people, six of whom were children ranging in age from 3 to 12 years old. Police tell us the suspect is 30-year-old Timothy Kinner from Los Angeles. Kinner has been charged with numerous felonies. He is set to be arraigned today. This incident has left our community shocked, heartsick, even angry, as we grapple with how someone could do this, not just in this city, but to the most innocent of victims, children. Joining me today to talk about this is Boise Chief of Police Bill Bones, Mike Journey, spokesperson for the city of Boise, and James Dawson, our reporter who has been covering this attack from the very beginning. Welcome to the program.
Thank you, James,
for having us.
I really appreciate you coming in on such short notice. I know how busy you have been the last couple of days. And Chief Bones, I'd like to start with you. Can you take me back to Saturday evening when this call came in?
Well, it's just one of those moments when I think a city stops, the whole heartbeat of the city pauses when a call like this comes out. And it really is, it's turning every officer, every first responder's attention to a single location. And that's where the focus of the city became and remained for the next 24 hours, really. And as you can see, it's still a central point to who we are as a community today. And it's going to be that way for a while.
And when your police officers got on scene in a news conference on Sunday, you said it is something that will stay with you.
Yes. So, and obviously I'm not the first responder.
Right.
I'm not the first person walking in there, but walking through the aftermath of the scene and seeing the children's faces and the victims' faces at the hospital, those are things that are just indelibly carved on your heart. So for the first responders that walked in there and for everybody that's a part of that, and really for our very community, it is something that has become part of our psyche at this point in time and something that I would think will continue. But that also, it offers us an opportunity to learn and to move forward and to reaffirm who we are, mm-hmm. to, you know, reinstitute and show locally and across the country who Idahoans are.
And James, you were on scene fairly soon after that. Can you tell me a little bit about when you found out about what was going on?
Well, I found out about it shortly after the call came out around, I believe, 8:45 or so Saturday nights. I was at home, and so I was covering it from there on Saturday night, but I live fairly close to State Street, so I did hear sirens wailing as police were responding to the scene. I was able to go out Sunday morning and kind of see the aftermath. I saw several people bringing bouquets of flowers to lay just outside the police line. I saw people just kind of sitting in a nearby parking lot, just kind of assessing what had happened. People were in shock. Emotions were just blank. It is how I would describe it. And that's kind of what I heard from children that I talked to at the scene. I think we have some tape of that,
right.
Actually.
I wanted to talk to you about that because you actually, I mean, what a lot of times when reporters go out, they talk with witnesses and all of that. In this instance, it really was much deeper because a lot of those witnesses were children. So tell me about that.
Yeah, so his demeanor, his name is Isram Hapta, 12 years old. He said that he had witnessed this man cursing and attacking people. And he was just so present when he was talking to us that it was just kind of remarkable. I'm not exactly sure. I don't think I certainly could have been that composed at 12 years old if I had seen what he had seen. What he told us was he saw this man stabbing people, and he immediately got him and his friends who were outside into the closet. They called police, stayed with the dispatcher, and waited until they had gotten an all-clear signal to leave the closet.
And let's actually play, if we have that really quickly, the sound from this young man.
When we were outside, he was chasing people and stabbing them, so we went inside the closet.
And we do want people to know that his mother was right there with him, gave permission for him to talk to media.
To the ABC. We got it from the ABC affiliate here.
Right. We just want to let people know that his mom was right there. Mike, you are a spokesperson with the city of Boise. Mayor mm-hmm. Beter had a previous commitment, couldn't join us today, but will be with us tomorrow. But this is not representative of this city.
No, absolutely not. I think that was you know, one of the first things that comes to mind when you hear about something like this is how could it happen here again? And one of the first things that Mayor Beter said was this isn't who we are. This is something that is very different. And an aberration. And as it turns out, from what we know about the suspect, he is not from Boise. And, you know, Boise has a long history of being a welcoming city, a place where people embrace refugees from all over the world. And that has continued to be the case today and it will continue to be in the future. You know, Jimmy's I think, perspective on that young man we just heard, his presence of mind to be able to say that, I think probably speaks a lot to the experiences that a lot of these people have had in their lives as refugees. You know, they're coming from war-torn places in the world, seeking refuge in our city. And to have them have to revisit something like this in a place that they thought was a safe haven, a refuge, mm-hmm. is a real challenge. And, you know, as a community, you know, we're working to make sure that people step forward and recognize that and bring that collective support back to them, to these people, so that they can understand that they're in a safe place.
I'm speaking with Mike Journey with the City of Boise, Chief of Boise Police Bill Bones, and reporter James Dawson about Saturday's stabbing in Boise. If you have questions, please reach out to us. You can email us at idahomatters@boisestate.edu, tweet us, KBSX 91.5, or find us on Facebook at Boise State Public Radio. Chief Bones, you said during a news conference on Sunday that these victims are some of the newest members of our community, but they're also some of the youngest.
Yes, both obviously vulnerable from a population. When you're new to a community, new to a culture, new to a country, that really puts you in a very nervous spot, right? And that's anybody. This is a group of people that have experienced terror, and they fled from oppression or danger to come somewhere safe. And I must say, this has been such a welcoming community. I hate that this happened in the city of Boise. I hate that this happened to anybody. But I did see in the faces, in the eyes, as you would talk to people, that they felt a comfort with those that were there to help them, right? That there's been a relationship built, and they had a feeling from being here in Boise that they weren't alone, that there was help there for them, that the people that were coming were people that they could trust. It, as terrible as a situation it is, and when you're seeing that shock in people's faces, when you're seeing that fear, to see whether it's a police officer, a firefighter, a medical personnel, somebody from the community reach out, and you see that person engage, and you see that thank you, that I need you, and to know that they felt that way here in Boise, mm-hmm. that was one of the minor warm spots that I was able to take away from this.
What do we know at this point about the suspect, Chief Bones? Because we do know that he's got an extensive criminal record.
Correct. And I'm a little restricted in going into the specifics of that. But I can tell you this is not a man that woke up a few months or years ago. This is a man with a criminal record going back many, many years through many states, including serious crimes, crimes involving weapons and violence. I don't know the past that he's gone through. I don't know the path he trod, but the person he's become is the utter opposite of anything we want to be a part of our community or who we mm-hmm. are.
And by definition, this is not a hate crime. It has not been defined as that. Now, when this first came out on Saturday night, there were questions about that. He is an American. He's from Los Angeles. So it is not a hate crime in how we define that from a legal standpoint.
Correct. So, you know, if we're legally looking to charge somebody with a hate crime, are they targeting a group or a person because of their religious or ethnicity, the background they might have, their race? And we don't have an indication that that was the case. This was really tied to just striking out, it appears, at a location where he had been given some shelter. A location, the person that had given him the shelter wasn't even present. So he wasn't targeting that. It was just whether it's anger or vengeance striking out. And obviously what hurts us the most and what is attacking those that literally had no defense. And, you know, the scenes of a birthday party and the remnants of that are one of the striking images of the scene. Worked very hard, obviously, to to clean up the location so that when the residents came back up the next morning, were returning to their shelters, and that they weren't seeing that as mm-hmm. a reminder of the tragedy of the night before.
Because, Chief, during a news conference over the weekend, you had said that he had gotten shelter there, like you just said now. Someone had taken him in, mm-hmm. but then he had been asked to leave on Friday, correct? He came back.
He did. He returned to the location, and we don't know what was in his mind. Probably we'll never know what was honestly in his mind. But we have had to deal with the aftermath, and those involved will have to deal with it, many of them for lifetimes.
James, when you were out there on Sunday, and you did talk about almost like that, a blank emotion, but did you see people coming together, though, as well? I mean, I'm sure that was shell shock, right? What else could you sense from the conversations that you had with people there?
Sure. So I did speak with one woman who's a teacher here in Boise who brought a bouquet of flowers. Her general sense was they were up, her and her family were up reading the story, learning the news on Saturday night, came by Sunday morning just to do something. She says that in her classroom, she talks a lot about participating, being an active member of the community, and just not ignoring something. Her big takeaway was even though seemingly she said she's doing something small, her words, it's as though it's showing people that this isn't being forgotten, it's not being ignored, and they realize something is happening. And that was what she had told me, what she expressed when I talked to her.
And Mike, from the city's perspective, what have you heard from you know, community members?
Right. Yeah, we've heard an outpouring of support. We're planning this vigil for this evening at mm-hmm. 6 o'clock on City Hall in the City Hall Plaza. The response to that on social media has been huge. We've heard lots of people on social media thanking the mayor for the statement that he made yesterday after the incident, and then also. I had the opportunity to be on site at the apartment complex on yesterday afternoon as well, and I saw the same thing Jimmy did. People driving up, parking their truck, getting out with a bouquet of flowers, or one guy handing out popsicles to the kids. Mm. That kind of outpouring is the kind of thing that we recognize as Boise, and so that gives me a lot of heart.
And I would say not surprised by the reaction of people in this city.
No, not at all. And it is who we are. I mean, it's one of the values that we hear constantly that people appreciate about our city, and that is its welcoming nature, the kindness that people have toward one another, the fact that we want to provide that safe haven for these people who have had such tough lives. And so the opportunity to see that really in action is great. So we're looking forward to seeing more people come out tonight.